Verse number 18 says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and it be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." He said, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but you can say unto this mountain, Be thou removed. Somebody say, there is no limit. Come on, somebody. He's telling you there is no limit to what you can do. You're not limited to your drug addiction. You're not limited to your alcohol addiction. You're not limited to your unfaithfulness, your unrighteousness. Somebody, there is no limit. Whatever you ask in his name, faith believing, without doubting, it shall be removed. There is no limit. Somebody better get them some faith without doubt in this place tonight. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I come to tell somebody, faith does not present itself when there's a guarantee of victory. Faith only presents itself when there's a possibility of defeat. I come to tell somebody, if you're feeling defeated, get your faith up. If you're feeling tempted, get your faith up. If you're feeling unworthy, get your faith up. Whatever you're facing, get your faith up. Remove that doubt and it has to leave. It says so right here. I come to tell somebody tonight, a little bit of doubt will consume you. You guys can be seated. A little doubt will consume your faith. It will consume your fire and it will consume your salvation if you let it. Your doubt will consume you if you let it. We have to get some faith without doubt in this place tonight. Now we're going to go to Matthew 14. Starting at the 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. How many knows what the fourth watch of the night is? The Jews broke the night up into four segments. The fourth watch was the last segment before daybreak. It was just before sunrise, and that's when Jesus showed up. Come on, somebody. Somebody's facing something in this place tonight. Honey, but they don't know they're in the fourth watch of the night. They don't know that the night is almost over. The sun's about to rise in somebody's life tonight. Just hold on. Just keep pushing. Just keep fighting. You're in the fourth watch of the night and the sun's about to rise in your life. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. They cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, it was boisterous. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. See, as Peter looked around, it's what Peter saw that caused him to sink. He saw that the wind was boisterous and he began to sink. But notice it says he began to sink. Too many times we take our focus off of Jesus and we put our focus on our problems. And we begin to sink. We begin to fall down. Have you been there? But I come to tell somebody, the same God that stopped Peter from sinking, honey, he will stop you from sinking also. The same God that reached down and picked Peter up and saved Peter, honey, he will save you also. Come on, somebody, whatever you're going through, it has a time limit. It cannot last forever. Just hold on. Just keep moving. Honey, the sun is about to rise. I know I'm jumping you guys around a little bit here, but we're going to the 17th chapter of Matthew now. We're going to start at the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. I think I might be in the wrong spot, guys. That's where I need to be. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, I've heard this message preached many times. How I just need faith the size of the mustard seed. But I believe God has shown me something a little bit different. It never says size here. He never compared our faith to the size of the mustard seed. He compared our faith to the mustard seed itself. So as I stumbled across this, I began to search some things about the mustard seed. So the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in agriculture, but it is capable of growing into a large tree. Okay, it starts out small, but it grows. Your faith doesn't stay small. Your faith will grow. Your faith will not stay as a grain of a seed. It will grow into a tree, and it will consume your doubt. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in agriculture, but it is capable of growing into a large tree, even in adverse conditions. So if you have faith like a mustard seed through your adversity, through all your troubles, through all your trials, through all your tribulations, it's still going to grow. No matter what comes your way, your faith, if your faith is like a mustard seed, it's still going to grow. A mustard seed needs about 2 inches of water per week. Normally during cool weather, you should get enough water. But if you don't, you'll have to do some additional watering. See, we go to church 2 days a week. When everything goes right, that might be enough water for that seed. But when the weather's not just right, when things get a little tough, when your bills ain't paid, when you just lost your job, when you got bad news at the doctor, when you don't know which way to go and which way to turn, honey, you may have to get that seed some additional watering. You're going to have to do some additional fasting. You're going to have to do some additional praying. You're going to have to do some additional studying, some additional seeking. You're going to have to get that seed some additional water so that it has the amount that it needs to survive or it cannot grow. We have to water our seeds tonight, church. We can't just do it 2 days a week. The last thing that I found out about a mustard seed is that a mustard seed is the only seed that cannot be hybridized. You can take any other seed, you can breed it with another seed, and it will accept it, and it will create something new. But if you try to breed a mustard seed with any other seed, it will reject it every time. You cannot change a mustard seed. So when that false doctrine comes your way, when that gossip comes your way, when that unbelief comes your way, honey, your seed will reject it. Your seed cannot be hybridized. It will not breed with destruction. It will not breed with unrighteousness. It will not breed with ungodliness. It will not breed with unfaithfulness. Your seed is not hybrid. It will reject any negativity that comes your way. Your seed cannot be hybridized. As the musicians come, I'm about to come to a close. But I want to share with you a couple things that I've witnessed in my life that faith has changed. And if faith changed it, no doubt could be in it. About probably 13, 14 years ago, me and my grandpa was in a car accident. It was a pretty bad one. Luckily, I was okay, but he wasn't. We got to the hospital. He had ruptured his spleen. They had to remove his spleen. He began to swell. Well, the doctors came to the family and they said, "It doesn't look good. Everything's dropping." But somebody presented some faith without doubt and they said, "Let us pray." Honey, and as we began to pray, as we held hands in the waiting room, the security come to stop us, but when they got to the door, they could not come in. And as we got done praying, as we got done lifting up the name of Jesus, I come to tell somebody the swelling began to go down. Not a minute later, not an hour later, not a week later. As soon as we got done praying, the swelling began to go down. The oxygen levels began to go up. The blood pressure began to rise. Honey, in a week later, that man was preaching with a neck brace on in the pulpit. I come to tell somebody, faith changes things. We got one of our own here in this congregation too, Brother Jediah Weir. He was born. His lungs had collapsed. His mom didn't even get to see him. They was bringing pictures of him with tubes all in him. They said the odds weren't good. But somebody began to sprinkle a little water on their seed. Somebody had been wetting that seed down, getting that seed ready to go. Honey, when they walked into the hospital, they said, "How is he?" They said, "It's not good." They said, "That's why we're here, though." They said, "That's why we're here, honey. We didn't come to accept the negativity. My faith rejects it. We didn't come to accept the odds. My faith rejects it." Honey, and they begin to lift up the name of Jesus, and you see him here every Sunday. You see him here every Tuesday. Honey, he's healthy. Nothing's wrong. God had a plan. As I turn it back over to Brother Carl, I ask you tonight, how is your faith? Have you been taking care of your seed? Is your seed ready for your next trial? Is your seed ready for your next tribulation? If it's not, honey, get it ready. You're going to need it. God bless you.
Amen. If your seed's not watered up tonight, the altar's open. The altar's open. All you got to do is come up here and get a little water added to your seed to help you withstand the test and trials the enemy's throwing your way. You know, this young man preached his socks off to you tonight. If it isn't enough to cause you to desire to have a closer walk with God, then you definitely need to be up here anyways. You know, I thank God tonight because truly, the faith is a great thing to have. And without it, we've got nothing. Without it, we've got nothing whatsoever because we walk by faith every single day of our life. We come to the altars and we ask for forgiveness. We come to the altar and we ask for a furtherance. We come to the altar and we ask for all these things. And all God says to you is just have faith, Brother Brad. Just have a little bit of faith, and I guarantee you everything is going to be okay. By the faith, the mountain is moved. By the faith, the enemy flees. By the faith, you are overcomers. By your faith, you have a testimony. You know, I thank God for him tonight. I thank God because we're both changed his mind. Let God have his way in his life. Not knowing what the other message was for us tonight, but we know what this message was all about. This message was to teach us that we need faith. We got to have a desire. We got to have an unction to get to the pulpit, to get to the altar, get to the faith. You know, truly, I thank God tonight, because truly without faith, we have nothing. So I beg you tonight, if you stand in this congregation tonight, you have a need for God. Exercise your faith tonight. Begin right now to make your way to the front. Begin right now, Lord, to pull your heart out to the Lord. Begin right now to show God that you're faithful, Lord, in His work. And begin right now to show God that you are worthy of His answered prayers. You know, I thank God tonight for each and every one of you tonight. I give you honor tonight for setting aside time to come into our church and lift up your faith and exercise it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, because truly, Lord, without faith, Lord, works is dead. And without work, Lord, faith is dead, Lord. Lord, you said it walks hand in hand in our life, Lord. And I know right now, Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, Jesus, pouring our hearts out tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask that you just reach down, Lord, to touch each and every person, Lord, that's in this altar tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you begin to open up minds, Lord. You begin to open up hearts, Lord. You begin to open up sight, Lord, just to the inside of your heart, Lord. Lord, I pray right now for each and every one of us, Lord, to set you free from bed tonight, Lord, to be in this place, Lord. That we leave this place changed, Lord, with just a little bit more faith, Lord. I thank you, God, tonight for Brother Bowen's message, Lord. If you didn't preach to anybody else, you got to preach to me, Lord. Lord, my faith, Lord.
Yeah.
I am yours. I am forever yours. I see now that you're by my soul. I am.
you're